Let me welcome you here to Calvary Chapel. I finally get to welcome you. This morning, a special event. Abby and Anthony are going to dedicate Liam to the Lord. And so, yes. So guys, why don't you come up here and let this little one, where's the little one at? Dave and Deb, you want to come up here too? Okay. Connection Sunday, we're going to have lunch together after the service. There's a sign-up sheet out in the lobby. We encourage you to sign up and bring something. We're going to have a good time of fellowship and eating and stuff. So if the weather's like today, it's going to be an awesome time. I want to mention we're fixing a grade in the back in a couple of weeks. So there's a tape up, you know that. We're going to take a lot of trees down and put grass back there and a new swing set. So that you know that's going on. I think in a couple of weeks, hopefully middle of May, depending on the weather, that's our goal. So I want to let you know that. So anyway. All right. If you look in your Bibles, please. To the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. I hope you're enjoying our study. It's been really fun. And it's been enjoyable. I want to read this chapter. First of all, let me just read parts of this chapter. I want to mention that a couple weeks ago, there was a proposal made to our young people to come up with a drawing of the 12th chapter. And so I have one. We sort of voted on it, came up with an individual that has done this. And so it's an amazing drawing. And I want to put it on the screen with you guys, but it's really the 12th chapter. I want to read a section of chapter 12. Turn, if you will, there. Before I put it up there, I want to just read this. It says, "Now a sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with a moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, called a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God from his throne. Then the woman fled to the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God that she should feed her there 1,260 days. Look in verse 13. Now we'll read the rest in a minute, but I just want to read this before I put this drawing up there. It says in verse 13 of chapter 12, "When the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she's nourished for a time and times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood." And here's this drawing here. I think you can see it. It's an amazing drawing to me. This is Liz McNutt. I want you to notice the 7 heads on the serpent. If you notice, it's a little light, but there's horns are broken off. There's actually just 7 horns from 10. There's, you know, or 14 rather. But and then you can see the woman, the stars around her head. You can see the wings of an eagle. And here's a little child. See the hand sticking up? And she's been pregnant. So she's born this child. She's given 2 wings. This flood coming out of the serpent's mouth. And so Liz did this. So is Liz here? There's a gift for her. Liz, where are you? Are you here? She's not here this morning? Okay, in the nursery. Okay, well, we have a gift for her. Hannah, thank you. You want to come get it for her? Put you on the spot, too. Thank you. Yours is amazing, too. So the young people did a great job on these things. But isn't that amazing? I mean, see how the tail's drawing a third of the stars down? I don't know how you do that kind of stuff. I'm not, that's not me, so. All right, look, if you will, in chapter 12. We're going to see this passage this morning, this woman. Let me give you the outline of our study. On this 12th chapter, there's 3 parts to it. We'll see the birth of Christ in verses 1 through 6, the war in heaven in verses 7 through 12, and finally persecution from the dragon in the rest of the chapter. Let's pray. Lord, we ask your blessing as we continue our journey through Revelation. Father, ultimately, your word says in that third verse of chapter 1, "Blessed is he who reads, who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, and who does what is written in the book." And we just pray this morning that you would open the eyes of our understanding. We pray as we look at this chapter in chapter 13, that we would be obedient to your word, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to conform us and mold and shape us, so that we would follow you. We thank you. Lord, we're reminded of the words you gave to Daniel, that the book was sealed up until the time of the end. And here we are at the end of the age, and I believe that revelation now is in that whole idea of being sealed, knowledge being increased, was referring, I believe, to the unfolding of the revelation of God. And so we're able to come and look at these verses, these chapters. We just thank you for guiding us through these precious chapters, Lord, and the blessing that accompanies it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, look again at verses 1 through 6. We read that. This, of course, is the birth of Christ. It says in verse 1, I saw a great sign appearing in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. This reminds us of Genesis, where Joseph had a dream. Remember that? He had a dream. Let me just read this to you in Genesis 37, 9. Here's what Joseph dreamed when he was still with his family, before he got sort of betrayed and sold into slavery to Egypt. It says he dreamed another dream, and he told his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me, meaning they bowed down to him. Remember, his brothers were not very happy about this dream because it implied that they would be bowing down to him. Even his father was upset, you know. But the Bible says that he hid these things in his heart. His father did, his mother did. And, of course, you know, he was sold into slavery. And then later on, his family came down and bowed down to him because he was the ruler in Egypt. He was second in command to Pharaoh. And so what I'm saying by that is simply this is obviously referring to Israel. This woman is Israel, and in verse 2, then being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. Let me just mention this. In our study of the book of Daniel, we're going to read a few passages here this morning, but Daniel is essential. When we go back to Daniel, we're going to read something, but it opens up all this whole idea of this, in verse 3, this fiery red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. This simply represents the 10 revived Roman Empire or the European Federation of Nations that's going to come at the end of the age. God gave a vision to Nebuchadnezzar, and then Daniel interpreted it. It was 4 kingdoms. The last kingdom, the fourth kingdom, is what he's referring to. And so this fourth kingdom, not only was this kingdom obviously Rome that took over, but there's references to it, we'll read in a few minutes, that clearly tie this kingdom in with the end of the age and the coming of Christ. And so this was a 10-nation federation, and the Bible talks about in Daniel that this little horn will raise up and overcome 3 of these kings. We'll read that in a minute. And this, of course, is the Antichrist doing this. So Satan is doing this. And he says in verse 4, his tail, heaven, this great fire red dragon in verse 3, incidentally, this is Satan. If you look down in verse 9 of this chapter, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. So in verse 3, this serpent is obviously Satan himself. In verse 4, it says, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. So this is a reference. We believe, of course, there's many times in the scriptures in Job where God talks about, you know, the stars in heaven, meaning that he's referring to angels there. And this is a reference to one third as they rebelled against God earlier in Ezekiel and Isaiah. When it talks about Satan rising up, wanting to become God himself. Again, this all makes a lot of, when you read all this and put it all together, it's a phenomenal account. Because in the very beginning, when Satan rebelled against God, he wanted to be like God. He's always wanted the worship of people. That's what he's always hungered for, wanted to be like God. He wanted to ascend, he said, to the sides of the north. He wanted to be like the Most High. And that was his rebellion. That's why Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I believe that was a reference to his moral fall prior to this passage, this chapter, where he's actually cast out of heaven. We'll see that in a minute. But this is obviously a reference to Satan. And he says here in verse 4, the dragon stood before the woman who is ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. So Israel giving birth to a child. And of course, there's this attempt to kill the child. We know that Herod, in the very beginning of Christ, when he was born, the Bible says that Joseph had a dream, and in the dream, the angel came and said, take the young child and flee down to Egypt, because Herod's going to try to kill the child. And Herod was an instrument of Satan to try to kill the child. This is a reference to trying to kill Christ when he was born, the woman giving birth. Because why? It's tying it all into the end of the age. The book of Revelation is simply the revelation of Christ, a revelation of him being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's all about Jesus extending and exercising his rightful place as the Lord of creation, the one who has the scroll in his hand, opening the 7 seals to take authority. And so when we go back to this passage here, what we're seeing is this is a threat to Satan's authority. We looked at the fact earlier in our study of Revelation how when Adam sinned, Satan gained access and became the god of this world. Jesus dying on the cross, he regained that authority, but he doesn't take that authority until he gets to heaven. In the book of Revelation, we see that in chapter 5, where the Bible says, who is worthy to open the scroll? You know, John's weeping because there's nobody worthy on earth of all the billions of people. Not a single person worthy because we've all sinned. And all of a sudden, we see this lamb in the midst of the throne and the angel crying out, the lamb is worthy. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. So it's all about this authority, and Jesus begins to open the scroll and exercise his authority and take dominion. So the reason now we have this window, as we talk about the seven seals, we see this window of what's been going on. We go all the way back to the birth of Christ, and we see this birth in the nation of Israel giving forth this birth of the Son of God. This is a direct threat to Satan, obviously, because Christ came, and instead of giving in to Satan, when Satan tempted him to worship, when Satan said, bow down and worship me, I'll give all these kingdoms to you, Jesus basically said no. He went to the cross. He regained that legal right to become the ruler of creation. Again, God did it his way. And so this is what's going on here. We see this dragon, this serpent, trying to kill the child. And it says in verse 5, she bore a male child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. This, of course, is obviously Jesus. This is the child this woman bore. Who is the woman? Well, this, again, back in chapter 12, verse 1, this sun and moon, 12 stars, going all the way back. Where in the Bible does it even mention a sun and moon and these stars? It goes all the way back to Genesis, referring to the nation of Israel. You know, again, the Bible itself is the commentary on the Word. The Bible itself explains itself in many, many places. So when you see these things, what does this mean? Who is this individual? This is, of course, Christ being born. And then it says in verse 5, her child was caught up to God in his throne, meaning simply that he was caught up, you know, to the Lord. There is the ascension, chapter 1 of Acts. And now we're seeing this child who's now is God's son, and exercising authority, taking dominion. He was, of course, an individual whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. This is the eternal God, Christ himself. And then in verse 6, the woman fled to the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God that she should feed her there 1,260 days. Now again, this is 3.5 years. So obviously what happens here in this passage, this text, we see going all the way back to this woman bearing this child caught up to heaven, and then of course now this dragon not only failing to kill the child, but now wanting to kill the woman, and all of a sudden for 3.5 years, she's being protected. And I believe this is the midpoint of the tribulation period. We jump to the tribulation period. Why? Because this is what we're in. This book of Revelation, you know, we believe in a futurist view of Revelation, meaning it's talking about the very end of the age, the coming of Christ, and the establishment of his kingdom. So it's tying, it's going back and showing, all right, what's the problem? Why does this dragon have a problem with this individual? Well, it's because of this. Why does the dragon have a problem with the Jews? Well, it goes all the way back and shows why. This is why. The birth of this child. This individual that's born is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. One day Satan will bow down, and every knee is going to bow to him, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is the issue. That is the problem. That is why we're seeing this window and showing in the middle of these seals and these seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, we're seeing the birth of Christ. We begin to understand what's going on here. It's tying it all in. You see, because this is one great story. We call it history or his story, the story of Jesus, the story of God's plan of redemption, the great mystery of God, the seventh trumpet we've already read about being fulfilled at the end of that seventh trumpet. And we're seeing this going on here, this window, as we sort of pause in here, we see all this going back and see the birth of Christ and this woman going to the wilderness. There's different views of this, okay? It mentions this individual in verse 6, this woman fled and this woman going out and then for 1,260 days. So, again, we know that Satan will have a peace treaty. The Antichrist will have a peace treaty with Israel for a 7-year peace treaty. But he'll break it at the midpoint of the tribulation. And at the midpoint of the tribulation, he'll enter into the temple, declare himself to be God. That's the abomination that makes desolate, spoken of by Daniel. We'll see that in a minute. And apparently at this point is when he begins to try to kill the woman. And so it says in verse 5, she bore a male child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Verse 6, the woman fled to the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God, and they should feed her there for 1,260 days. There are different views on what this means. Again, the Bible doesn't tell us what it is. It just mentions that she'll go to the wilderness. Some believe it's just a scattering, going all over the world, and that God will watch over the Jews now as they're being persecuted by the Antichrist, trying to be killed, trying to be slaughtered, as are Christians. And that for 3.5 years, because the Great Tribulation technically is the last 3.5 year period. This is when everything breaks loose. The first 3.5 is relatively peaceful. And the Bible says when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travails a woman with a child. The Antichrist goes in the temple, reveals himself who he really is, and his goal is to kill every Jew he can find. Kill every Christian he can find. And we look at this anti-Semitism and how it's just pervaded the world for so long. Why? Well, here's the reason. Because of Christ, because of the fact that Israel was the one that God used to bear the Messiah. God said, we already saw in our study of Revelation, 144,000 Jews being saved during the tribulation, as well as multitudes coming out of the Great Tribulation who are also saved. People that come to Christ during the tribulation period. Gentiles. So this dragon hates the woman, wants to kill the woman and destroy the woman. So this is what's going on here. So for 3.5 years, they run out here. Let me ask you to turn to Revelation 24. Oh, excuse me. There isn't a Revelation 24. Turn, if you will, to Matthew 24. I want to read a passage. Jesus referred to this very event in Matthew 24. Look in verse 15. It goes from chapter, this passage, from verse 15 down to verse 31. Here's what Jesus said. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, that is the midpoint of the tribulation, Satan enters the temple, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So he's referring here to the Jews. What are the Jews to do? They are to flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. Woe to those, in verse 20, excuse me. And pray that your flight would not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, and there, do not believe it. And we'll see this in a minute in the next chapter. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the very elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if anyone says to you, look, he's in the desert, or look out, or do not go out, or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will, when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet that will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, all those who are saved during the tribulation period. Now again, the church will be raptured out. Again, I mentioned the fact that the word church is never used from chapters 4 to the end of Revelation, because the church is in heaven. We saw that represented by the 24 elders who have the crowns, who are saying, Lord, you redeemed us out of every tongue, every tribe, every nation by the blood of the Lamb. You're worthy. So we see the church in heaven, but we see these individuals saved. Jesus referred to this very event in this passage. So go back to our study here, the 12th chapter of Revelation. So in verse 6, the woman flees. The dragon's going to do all that he can to destroy her descendants. And they'll be protected. Again, this persecution will last, verse 6, for 3.5 years. So it will happen at the midpoint in the tribulation until the Lord comes back. Then look in verse 7, if you will, war in heaven. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, And the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out of the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell on the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. I want to point out, if you look in verse 7 again, Michael. Michael is clearly associated with the nation of Israel. In Daniel, turn to Daniel chapter 12, if you will. You may want to hold your finger in Daniel. There's a number of passages we'll look at. Go to Revelation, Psalms and turn right. After Ezekiel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, excuse me. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel apparently has a very special place with the nation of Israel. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And this is referring to the end of the age. Verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands and watches over the sons of your people, meaning, of course, the Jews. There shall be a time of trouble. This is called Jacob's trouble. Remember the phrase, Jacob's trouble? Jacob's trouble is this time when the Antichrist will do all that he can to wipe out the Jews. It says there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered. Again, we saw this already. They will go for 3.5 years, delivered. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Of course, that refers to the very end of it all, 20th chapter of Revelation. So some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. We'll stop right there for a minute. So we see this statement here in verse 1 about Michael the archangel, who is the great prince who stands and watches over the sons of your people. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, it says, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me when he was praying, and Michael came to help Daniel. Chapter 10, verse 21, he's referred to as, he spoke to Daniel, said, Michael, your prince. In Jude chapter 9, in the New Testament, it says, Michael, the archangel, when continuing about the body of Moses, okay? So Michael is an archangel. He's a chief angel. So go back to our study here of Revelation. Michael's clearly associated with the Jews. And so at the end of verse 6, we see now war breaking out in heaven. Now there's this rebellion. Michael and his angels are fighting with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought. These fallen angelic beings, a third of the angels in heaven, rebel with Satan, of course. They did not prevail, nor was a place found to them any longer. And then in verse 9, the dragon is cast out, that old serpent called the devil, who deceives the whole world. Now, this is happening again at the midpoint of the tribulation. We'll see in a minute why I say that. So in verse 10, we see this great praise coming. Now salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accuses him before our God day and night has been cast down. And we see this over and over again in Zechariah, I think it's chapter 13. You know, where Satan's standing aboard Joshua, the high priest, accusing him. Satan means accuser. He accuses us. And all of a sudden God said, you know, I've had enough of this. We see in the book of Job where Satan comes before God, so he has access to God. He comes before God. The book of Job, we see that a couple places. I'm reminded of what Jesus said to Peter. Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The word desired means to ask permission from. Satan came to God, asked permission for Peter. We know that, you know, again, Satan tried to, you know, work over Peter because he denied the Lord. And Jesus said to Peter, when you're converted, when you come to your senses really and get over this trial, then strengthen your brethren. So Satan has had access until this point. You know, he's had access to God. He comes before God. He did that in Job. Jesus made this statement of a fact when he said that Satan's asked permission to have you, Peter. And I've prayed for you. But all of a sudden we see now in this passage, Satan being cast out, this accuser of the brethren finally being cast out of heaven. And then they say, again, of course, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Again, you know, in down in verse 12. So we overcome Christ how? In verse, or Satan rather, in verse 11. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. And the third thing is, we don't love our lives to death. We're willing to die for what we believe. All are necessary. And of course, in verse 12, there's this great cry that goes out. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell on the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that it's a short time. Okay, tying this in with, okay, now it's going to be really rough. The devil is going to do all that he can. And of course, we saw that in verse 6 of chapter 12 when the devil is, you know, trying to kill the Jews, as well as believers. We'll see that in just a second. But this is the midpoint of the tribulation. This is when finally Satan's cast. He doesn't have access anymore to heaven. There's war in heaven. Michael throws him out of heaven. Then look at verse 12, if you will, through 17. There's going to be persecution from this dragon. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast out of the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Of course, that's referred to in verse 6. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly to the wilderness for her to her place where she's nourished. How long is she nourished? A time times and a half a time, meaning 3.5 years. That's another way to say 3.5 years. So we see this persecution at the 3.5 years. So when you read about Michael, you know, and this war in heaven, it's not referring to before creation. It's referring to right at the midpoint of the tribulation where the devil's cast out and all of a sudden he's very upset. He knows that it's a very short time. He turns on the woman, you know, once he goes into the temple, exposes himself for who he really is. We'll see that in a minute. The Antichrist is going to demand that everyone worship him. And if anyone that doesn't, they'll be killed. And he's particularly hating this woman, the Jews, as well as other believers. And in verse 14, she'll flee to the wilderness while she's protected for 3.5 years. Some believe that this is a rock fortress near the Israel called Petra. There's a problem with that in the sense because, first of all, the Bible doesn't identify what it is or where it is. And I've said before, I don't want to try to say what this is if the Bible doesn't. You know, you think if someone goes to Petra, I mean, they could just airplane it or nuke it, you know. So it looks like to me that, you know, some of the scholars believe this is just a scattering of the Jews across the globe, preaching the gospel, sharing the word of God, you know, and of course, many being converted during the tribulation period. The Bible is very clear about that. We've already seen that. So this woman goes, and for 3.5 years, she's being protected. These, of course, are the ones that believe in Christ, the Jews that come to know Jesus. So in verse 15, the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up its mouth, swallowed the flood, which the dragon has spewed out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman, this very anger towards the woman, these Jews that are believers now, they've come to know Christ. He went to make war with the rest of her offspring, the rest of the Jews, and who could keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, any believer on the planet. This is an amazing thing, you know, how God's opening our, you know, we began to realize this. You know, right now the Jews are planning to rebuild the temple, you know, and they've got plans to do it. They've got everything ready to go. There's a problem with the Temple Mount, you know, but that's going to be somehow resolved. And it could be that the Antichrist comes and makes a peace treaty with Israel, and then, of course, they build it so that by the 3.5-year period, the temple's rebuilt, and the Antichrist goes in the temple, declaring himself to be God. But we know that this individual is the devil who goes into the temple, the abomination that makes desolate. We know Jesus said, you know, to the Jews, if you're in Judea, flee. Don't, when you see this, when you see the abomination, do not go back and get your stuff out of the house. Run, because the devil's mad. He's going to do all that he can to destroy you and kill you. You know, and this whole world's going to be deceived. This whole world's going to be just blinded by this. Because, again, Satan is one of the worship people. It's all about authority. It's all about who's in charge. This is what the Revelation is all about. Christ is. And now when he finally, in that fifth chapter, he gains that rightful place, takes the title deed to the earth, declares himself to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and begins to exercise that opening the seals, administering the judgments upon a Christ-rejecting world. Because he's king, he's Lord, and he's not going to put up with it. You know, I know you may have issues with the government. I mean, everybody's got issues with the government, don't you? I mean, you may not say, well, you probably do talk about it at home at least, you know. But one day we're going to have perfect government, you know. We're going to have the Lord come and establish his kingdom. What a day that's going to be. You know, when he makes all these things right. And it's going to be a great, great event. You know, it's not, now please understand, this is not like Jesus up there wrestling with the devil. You know, when Christ comes and there's a, you know, the enormous infinite power of Jesus hits the devil with all of his demons, there's no contest, okay? It's going to be a slaughter. It's going to be a, you know, he's going to wipe him out, you know, because he's infinite. There's no way that anybody can resist the Lord himself when he comes back. And the Bible is very clear about that. That's why the devil's so mad. He's upset. He knows he's got a very short period of time left. He's very angry, very upset. He got cast out of heaven. You know, he realizes the time is short. He's very upset. He's doing all that he can to take as many as he can with him. He does not care about people. If Satan could, he would kill every human being on the planet. Because that removes anybody. That he wants to remove anybody that he can from knowing Jesus and following Christ and coming into a saving relationship with Jesus. You know, I think it's in Ezekiel where it talks about, or maybe it's Isaiah when Satan is going down into hell, where it says, you know, that he's persecuting his own. He doesn't care about his own people. Where all these people will look at him and saying, are you the one that terrified the earth and took authority over the earth? Are you the one that did all these things? Look at you now. So even the individuals, when he's cast out and thrown into hell, he's going to be, you know, I imagine that. I don't know if they'll have physical abilities or not, but they'll probably be some beaten up on the devil when they get down there, you know. It's not going to be a pretty sight, but this is this individual. And he's trying to kill the woman. Now look in chapter 13, if you will. Now we're going to see again the rise of the beast. There's actually two beasts in this chapter. Let me point out verses 1 through 10 is a political entity. Okay, this is the political entity. It's the 10-nation federation that the Antichrist will rule over. And then the second one, the second beast, is the false prophet. It's religious. So in verses 1 through 10, the political side of this, verse 1, then I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw the beast rising up out of the sea. Again, the sea represents the masses of humanity, the people. All of a sudden, this beast rising up, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Turn, if you will, to Daniel chapter 2. Again, I mentioned we'll be in Daniel just a little bit. We'll read one more section here, a couple of sections in Daniel, because it explains to us who these ten horns are, what it's all about. Daniel chapter 2, you know, and when we're skipping around like this, I'm trying to tie this in, because when you read Revelation and you hear about this group of individuals, who is this? What is this? Well, Daniel had the vision and saw this. And what happened was the angel told Daniel that seal up the words until the time of the end. At the time of the end, knowledge will be increased. All of a sudden, there'll be this increase of knowledge. Some look at that like an explosion of knowledge, but we look at it as more than that. It's a knowledge of understanding of what this means. Knowledge will be increased. We'll be able to grasp because we can put it all together. So in chapter 2 of Daniel, look at verse 40. And this is the fourth kingdom. Daniel saw this, you know, when he was telling the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, he saw these four kingdoms, and he mentioned this fourth kingdom. Look in verse 40. The fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as the iron breaks in pieces, shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, this kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet of toes, partly of potter's clay, partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. As the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. So he's talking about this fourth kingdom. He's seeing this. And in verse 43, as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they shall not adhere to one another, just as iron is not mixed with clay. In verse 44, look at verse 44, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. So it's tying this fourth kingdom in verse 40 to the end of the age. Verse 44, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom, that's Christ's kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. This kingdom, Christ's kingdom, shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms and shall stand forever. See how it ties it in? Verse 45, inasmuch as you saw the stone was cut out of a mountain, the stone, of course, is Christ. coming down from heaven without hands, that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain and the interpretation sure. So Daniel saw this fourth kingdom. Now, if you look at this, if you go back, we can see who these kingdoms are. They talk about the Medo-Persian kingdom, the Assyrian kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, and the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire. Those are the four kingdoms that conquered Israel. This fourth kingdom, the Roman empire, is gone. But many believe it'll be resurrected. There'll be a sort of a semblance of it. This is the fourth kingdom that obviously it ties in with this fourth kingdom and the end of the age. Okay? Go now in Daniel. Keep your down to verse chapter 7, excuse me. Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And here comes this beast. After this, I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge teeth, is devouring, breaking in pieces, trampling the residue with its feet. This is that last kingdom. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up from them. From these 10, here comes one, before whom three of the four horns were plucked out by the roots. And there was in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. Look in verse 9. I watched till thrones were in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. This, of course, is God himself. His garment was white as snow. His hair was head were like pure wool. His throne was as a flaming, fiery flame. Its wheels burned. Burning fire, a fiery stream issued and came forth from him. A thousand thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books are opened. We'll see that in the 20th chapter of Revelation. He's on the throne. Books are being opened. There's judgment now because this individual's come. And look also in chapter 7 of Daniel, verse 19. I'm trying to tie this in. Again, if you got to go back to our study of Daniel to get all this. I'm sort of rushing through it. Then Daniel says in verse 19, I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast. Okay? This is that fourth kingdom, which was exceedingly, or was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron, its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces, trampled the residue with its feet. The ten, and here's what it says, and the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which three fell, name of the horn which had eyes and a mouth, which spoke pompous words, who appeared greater than his fellows. So he says, what does this mean? I was watching, and the same horn made war against the saints. Notice this horn is making war against the believers, the Christians, and prevailing against them. 3.5 years he'll prevail. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given, was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. See, that's tying it all into the end of the age. This is where we are in our state of Revelation. Verse 23, then he said, here's what he said, here's the interpretation. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth. It shall trample and break it in pieces. He says, these 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones. He shall subdue 3 kings. Then it says in verse 25, and this is the Antichrist. He will speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hands. For how long? For a time, times, and half a time. 3.5 years. Again, this is the midpoint of the tribulation. Verse 26. But, of course, the court will be seated. God's going to come and sit on the throne. And they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole of heaven shall be given to the people. To the people, the saints of the Most High, that's you and I, okay, who will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. All his dominions shall serve and obey him. Isn't that great? So Daniel saw this. Daniel saw this fourth kingdom. What does this mean? What is this, you know? These are 10 kings. And there's 10 kings coming, but this little horn is going to rise up and subdue 3 kings. This is the fourth kingdom. Clearly the Roman Empire, but somehow this kingdom, the Roman Empire, is going to be connected to the end of the age. There's going to be this 10 European Federation of kingdoms, of countries, and the Antichrist will rule over them. That's what it says in chapter 13 of Revelation. This is what this is all about. That's why you gotta know Daniel to understand a lot of this, because it's very clear the same thing. They're talking about the same event. So in verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 2, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. Its mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power and a throne and a great authority. So the Satan gives the Antichrist power and authority. This is the political kingdom. I saw one of the heads, verse 3, as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Apparently, something's going to happen to one of these heads, and there's going to be a miraculous healing. You know, Jesus said there are going to be signs and wonders to deceive if we're possible the very elect. Don't believe them. They're all lies. So this individual is going to be wounded and mortally wounded, but it's going to be healed, and all the world's going to marvel and follow the beast. Let's follow the beast now. It's going to be used to encourage people to follow the beast, the Antichrist, the kingdom of the Antichrist. Then verse 4, so they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. Again, this is what Satan's always, they worship the dragon, they worship Satan. Who gave authority to what? The beast. This is the political empire and the Antichrist ruling over this. They're going to worship the beast, and they'll worship the beast saying, who is like the beast who is able to make war with him? Verse 5, he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Remember that in Daniel? He will speak pompous words against the Most High and the saints of the Most High. So he's given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue how long? 42 months. Verse 5. That's 3.5 years. You got 3.5 years left. Okay. The devil comes down knowing he's upset. He's going to make war against the saints. He's going to turn against the Jews and try to slaughter them all. The believing Jews especially. They're going to flee. They're going to run because Jesus warned them. When you see the abomination, when you see this thing happen, take off because the devil's going to all of a sudden become exposed who he is, turn on the Jews, try to kill them. This is what this is all about. This political, he's going to break his 7-year treaty with Israel. And Daniel makes that very clear, the book of Daniel. So in verse 6, he opened his mouth to blaspheme God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell on the earth. He hates God. Verse 7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. It's very hot. Can we turn on and get some air conditioning in here? Guys, if you don't mind. And I don't know if it's me getting all excited. And we'll close it out real quick. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names were not found written in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So listen. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. He's saying to the believers, don't take up the sword and try to wipe and kill people out. Don't get your food in some remote place and your guns and ammo and shoot everybody. That's what he says. That's exactly what he says. He says in verse 10, he warns the saints, he who leads into captivity will go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And what is this? This is the patience and faith of the saints. Just trust the Lord here. If it means death, it means death. You know, because the Antichrist will overcome. He will wear out the saints of the Most High. And then look in verse 11 to the end of the chapter. The second beast is this religious beast. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. This is the false prophet. This is the religious prophet coming saying, worship the beast, worship the beast, worship the beast. That's what they'll be doing. So again, he's like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. He comes as, you know, a nice, helpful individual, but he's speaking evil, demonic words. Verse 12, he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, meaning in the presence of the Antichrist, this false prophet. You see, there's a trinity, there's a false trinity. And this is what this is all about, this false trinity. He causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. This false prophet points to the Antichrist, worship the Antichrist. He performs great signs so that he makes even fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. I think what he's going to do is probably open the Bible. And he's going to say, remember Elijah the prophet, the true God answered by fire from heaven? Well, let's see who answers by fire from heaven. And this false prophet's going to cause fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men. Verse 14, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which is granted to do though in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and he lived. So they'll make an image of this beast that was wounded, and now there may be an assassination attempt on the Antichrist. You know, and he's going to be healed, somehow miraculously healed. And all of a sudden, this false prophet is going to say, let's worship him who is miraculously healed. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Some believe that this image is simply, this image is what is the abomination. I don't know for sure, it doesn't say. But it says the Antichrist will go into the temple declaring himself to be God. Will this image be made and be put into the temple in Jerusalem? This image of the Antichrist that was healed now and this false prophet saying worship? I don't know. But it clearly indicates this abomination, there's going to be an abomination that makes desolate. And then in verse 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one should buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, let me, you know, every year I read about what this means, okay? And I've read about 50 things it means, okay? I don't know what it means, okay? But it's obviously what it says here. Again, I do not want to say what this is because I don't know. I could guess, but there's no sense in guessing. Okay, there's some mark on the hand or forehead that you can't buy or sell unless you have that mark, whatever it may be. That's very clear. But also there's a religious component because this event or this thing happens when this occurs. So the false prophet will demand that this take place, this mark be accepted, and somehow it's connected to the worship of the Antichrist. So, in verse 17, no one can buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. No. And verse 18, here's wisdom. Let him that has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. The number is 666, famous 666. And people are always trying to, what is that or who is that? Or they look at people's names and they, you know, every letter in the Hebrew alphabet has a number to it and they all add it up. Oh, you know, there's, you know, that we don't know what it is. But all we see is this political and this religious beast, the first beast coming at the Antichrist, the false prophet rising up. And what's happening here in our study of Revelation, we're seeing this window into this rebellion. This, all of a sudden, Satan knows he has a short time. He rebels. He does all that he can to assume this place of God. He's been thrown out of heaven already at this point. Midpoint of the tribulation. It's at that point he persecutes the woman. It's at that point he goes into the temple, declares himself to be God, begins to kill the Jews and slaughter the Christians. It's at that point he breaks his treaty with Israel. Why? He knows he has a short time. He knows he's done. He knows he's doomed. And all of a sudden we see this 10 European Federation of Nations, this fourth kingdom that Daniel saw that's tied in with Rome. Very clearly it was the Roman Empire. And yet somehow it's projected to the end of the age. So many believe it's the same geographical area. It's clearly tied in with the coming of the Lord, the end of the age. Thank God we're not here during this time. God's not appointed the church to wrath. You know, God has given us grace, and God's going to take the church out. We see that in the story of the Lot, how God had to remove Lot. We see that in the story of Noah, where God put Noah in the ark, and he rose up above the judgment of God. The Bible says God's not appointed the church to wrath. It's all about authority. This is all about who's in charge. You see, Satan is still in charge. Jesus called him the God of this world. Paul called him the God of this world and the prince of the power of the air. But one day, Jesus will take his rightful place. He's not yet exercised that authority, even though he won that authority at the cross. In that fifth chapter, he takes the seal. We see that in our study on Wednesday night. We saw the Lord came down, or this angel coming down from heaven, one foot on the land, one on the sea, with his scroll in his hand. He's got the title deed. And he says, now is the kingdom of Christ become the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. He's now establishing authority. This is what it's all about. If we don't know him, if you don't know Christ, please give your life to him. Abby, can the worship team please come up and we'll close? I want to challenge you this morning to read. Come out on Wednesday night. We continue our journey. We'll look at the next few chapters. We encourage you to come as we look at this unfolding, this revelation of Jesus. This is about Christ. Yes, this is a revelation of end time events, but more than that, it's a revelation of who Christ is. This is God's son. And he's going to come and establish his kingdom. That's what this is all about. He's establishing himself as the King of kings and Lord of lords, and every knee one day will bow to him. He's the one that judges. One day he'll judge every person. Let's pray. Lord, we want to come this morning to thank you and just ask you to help us. You told us to watch and pray. I think about how in one way, when Satan is thrown out of heaven, he's very wise in knowing that he only has a short period of time. I pray that we would be wise. I pray that we would know that we have a short time left before we're caught up in heaven with you. And I just pray that the effect of our journey through Revelation were to motivate us and to stir our hearts. Because, Lord, you're coming soon. And I know that imminent return of Christ has always been in the hearts and minds of your people throughout the ages. But as we look at this chapter, as we look at these passages, as we go through Revelation, as we look at the world around us, we see what's happening in the Middle East. We think about what's happening in Russia now, moving into Syria and in the Middle East when it wasn't before. It's more, much more. We see these things going on now. We think of Ezekiel 38 and 39. We think about Daniel. We think about all these things that people at one point said. We talked last week about, you know, the two witnesses being killed and all the world watching them. There's TV cameras obviously on their bodies for 3.5 days. And all the world looking at their dead bodies as they lay in the streets of Jerusalem. And obviously, Lord, it can only have happened in our generation right now. I think about the mark of the beast, this 666. So that people know what you buy and sell. And skeptics used to make fun of that and say, there's no way that people are ever going to know what we buy or sell. And yet, what we buy and sell is always monitored now. Father, I just pray that we would be wise. And I pray that you'd stir our hearts. That we would be motivated and encouraged and challenged to follow Jesus. To commit our lives anew and afresh to you and to your purpose, to your kingdom. As we say in the Lord's Prayer, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, even though we know that there's going to be no peace until Christ comes and establishes peace. I just want to continue to pray. Help us to realize the center of this, all this work is the nation of Israel. This is the great prophetic sign. This is the great, as we look at what's happening even in Israel now, I think about the Iranians and the Hezbollah and all this stuff going on and the Arabs around there and wanting to destroy. I just want to pray, Lord, that we would recognize and we would be motivated and challenged to follow Christ. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you, as you told Daniel, that the book is sealed until the time of the end, when knowledge will be increased. Men will run to and fro. And I just pray that you would give us an understanding heart and realize where we are in history. And may we be stirred deeply and greatly to follow Christ 100% in this last moments of the last age. As you come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus. We thank you that one day your kingdom will be established. May it be established right now in every heart here. I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.